finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's freaking go.
Breathe in.
Breathe out. We're all good, baby. Garrett Nussmeier is okay. I didn't want to fire up the intro because some of you would just skip it. We're all good. All right, I'm going to tell you everything that I do know here in just a moment. Let's go.
Will continue to roll. So when you do this full time, your phone just gets blown up whenever there's any type of salacious rumor out there. And yes, there was a situation involving Garrett Nussmeier a little bit earlier. This happens with players all the time in practice where, you know, they get rolled up on or whatever. And well, they're okay. And that is pretty much what we're dealing with here. Garrett Nussmeier's fine. Look, I have gone on so many different journalism, media rants. I do understand this one's a little bit different because it does involve the single most valuable player in the SEC, and I really do mean that. I'm not saying he's the best, but I do think he's the most valuable, especially when you factor in LSU's backup QB situation. So I get it. I totally get it. And then, of course, these rumors happen all the time with QBs. I think this one would have been even bigger last year. There were some weird rumors that LSU was in the bidding or in the business of going to get Virginia Tech's Kyren Drones, and that was nothing, or at least my understanding, that was nothing. There's rumors that are floated out there all the time on the internet. It's important to not believe them. A story as big as Garrett Nussmeier being hurt, that is an A-list story. That would be the biggest story in college football leading up to the season opener, right? The biggest quarterback injury, period. So, you know, I am glad it did not happen. I'm also glad that I do think most of the LSU folks that are not trolls understood that it was more than likely not serious. So, no, he does not have a torn ACL. He is fine, which is good news. LSU, knock on wood, has mostly had good quarterback injury luck. Outside of Miles Brennan and Matt Flynn for a critical SEC championship game, it's mostly been good QB injury luck historically at LSU, or at least in the modern era, at the very least. So, coming up at 6:30, we'll talk to Matthew Bruni of On3. We're really excited about that. I will be on AYS a little bit later tonight, and Blake will be on our show tomorrow night. All right. So, the first thing, obviously, as far as practice news and notes, what you need to know as far as LSU is concerned is they do truly believe in what they have. I did have someone reach out to me as far as the offensive line comments that not only I've made, but many of us have made. They are feeling a little bit more confident about this unit going into the season opener, right? This is one of the better quarterback running back duos LSU has had in quite some time. And, well, at least since 2019. And you do feel comfortable that special talents at quarterback and at running back in particular can make up sometimes for the blocking having its issues. So other than that big Garrett Nussmeier rumor, everything as far as LSU is concerned is moving swimmingly, all right? Also, there is just an overall thought that DJ Pickett will start day one. You know, I do think, as far as that is concerned, I would not count out Ashton Stamps. We talked about this at length yesterday, but there is a lot of DJ Pickett steam, even though there have been some tough days at practice mixed in there for old DJ. But that is mostly because he's been lined up a lot versus Chris Hilton, LSU getting him ready for wide receivers at Clemson that are just as good, if not better, than Chris in the season opener. Some other things, obviously the Bernard Gooden storyline has been talked about quite a bit and how much he has dominated practice. And then to go one step further, this overall LSU offensive and defensive lines, it is amazing how much more confident the coaches, the players, and everyone surrounding LSU feels about this unit compared to where they are in the spring. Remember, in the spring, we didn't know who Bernard Gooden was. In the spring, this was not the offensive line that they were running out there, right? It was a completely different combination. The center is now at guard, and then the center you brought in was on the bench, and Josh Thompson didn't get there until midway through the spring. So we will see how this all plays out. We say hi to Yusha in Kiev. Love it. It's crazy how many viewers we have in Europe. Now, I don't have like a gazillion viewers, but Europe, Ukraine, just all throughout the world. We have the Ivanka in Sri Lanka as well. I'm very blessed to get to do this. You know what? One guy I've missed is our guy in Turkey. What was his name? God, I have to go look it up. I do miss him quite a bit. I was thinking about him earlier today. Now, this is something else I would do, obviously, with Garrett Nussmeier. I would be very cautious with him at the same time, because we know he's got a down pat. Obviously, make sure nobody hits him, make sure, you know, his workload and all that stuff is still good. I did, you know, you always fear the worst. I really didn't fear it too much earlier today because the accounts that I saw putting out there that it was a torn ACL was not ones that I would have trusted. Sometimes there are some Twitter accounts that can go silent or won't say anything at all that'll make you say, But if Garrett had actually torn his ACL, I always say this. My channel is built on commentary and perspective and analysis. I am not an insider. If that actually happened, I would have known. I'm serious. If the story is big enough, I would have known if something would have happened. I'm not saying I'm the be-all, end-all or whatever. But if there's a serious injury, normally I get that information pretty quickly. Now, as far as coaching searches, nobody really knows outside of, you know, the national reporters and the local reporters that are close to the agents and coaches themselves. All right. So there you go. Now, let me make sure there's not anything new out there as far as LSU is concerned with Garrett Nussmeier. Now, I haven't gotten anything in a decent bit here. So we're all good to go. Now, there's a bunch of other stuff prepped. I do not know the story on Princeton Malbrew. I'm sorry, Jamie, unless there's something I'm missing. I've always liked Princeton Malbrew as a special teamer. He's been with LSU, I think, every single year of the Brian Kelly era from LCA. So if someone wants to inform me on that, I guess I missed the story on the special teamer / walk-on linebacker. So there you go. So you know who spreaded the rumor. Was it somebody reputable? I don't think it's necessarily who spreaded it. It probably was just some random troll account. I think finding the originator is the tough part. Okay. Let's go to LA Mom. In one way, the team's confidence is reassuring, but I don't want them to get so confident that they assume they get a win over Clemson. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. You do not have to worry about that because, you know, like Jack Pyburn said when he was on with us, everybody knows Clemson's a good team. There is a reason why LSU did something different this year. They did not list all of the teams on their annual schedule. So the way LSU normally does it, and I used to go to these press conferences in the practice room, they would have all the schools on their schedule lined up. So this is Wilson Alexander, his photo of the Advocate. They would have every single school already, you know, spelled out on the schedule. But this year, LSU didn't put anyone else on there other than Clemson. A true one game at a time mentality. I also think they did that because, well, it's Clemson, for goodness gracious sakes. This is one of the best programs of this era. So there you go. Next thing, I want to share one very critical thing involving Garrett as we do move forward here with LSU. I do think he will be in New York City for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Will he win it? I don't know. It's just hard for me to not see a world where he doesn't put up absolutely positively massive numbers unless the offensive line is just so beyond atrocious. One thing I do think, though, about Garrett is, you know, Kyren was still a really good player for LSU last year. Did he have the season that a lot of us expected him to have? No, he didn't get to 1,000 yards, but he was still very, very, very good. You know, there is going to be some growing pains as LSU tries to figure out who is actually the best receivers, right? And there's really only so many game reps to go around. And versus Clemson, you don't really have a walkthrough to see who your best receivers are in a game setting. So how much of this is going to come down to LSU saying, look, we are going to trust Aaron Anderson the most. But then after that, we're going to trust Chris because Chris has played the most outside of Aaron with Garrett Nussmeier in a game setting. And then after that, who has played the most with Garrett at the wide receiver position? Well, you go down the list, Xavion Thomas. You want to throw tight ends in there, Tre'Davious Green. But one name that's just constantly been interesting to me is Kyle Parker. So there you go. Now, this is the next thing. We did get a super chat here, so I always want to show love. Thank you so much, Julie, for your generosity as always. So this clip was released. I will also say this clip was also a play that they tried to pull off in the LSU spring game. But LSU released a video of Bauer Sharp catching a rail ball down the sideline. So what is Bauer Sharp's actual expectation for LSU going into this next season? I think he's catching 40 passes like he did last year with Oklahoma. And I do think it's important to point out that him and Tre'Davious Green are different types of players. They play the same position. Both of them would admit that their blocking could be better, but I do think both of them are good enough to inline block. But the way LSU has used the tight end over the past couple of seasons more fits the game of Bauer Sharp. I do think Bauer Sharp is better in these intermediate yak type of scenarios where Tre'Davious Green of the two is by far the better pure receiver, a guy that we want to split and put in a big slot position, where Bauer Sharp is more of the motion behind the line of scrimmage to the left and split zone and back to the right and throw the slip to him in the flat. LSU has been a team that's run a lot of these kind of wheel verticals with Mason Taylor. Bauer Sharp fits that mold to me a little bit better because I do think of the two between him and Tre'Davious, just based on what I've seen, it could be different. LSU's got all their MPH info. I do think Bauer Sharp is slightly faster, just slightly. I mean, he is really, really, really fast as a player. So I do think, and I have said this, since the Bauer Sharp film study that we released not only a few days ago, but we also did one in the offseason, I think he's a little underrated in terms of the production he could have this next season. I think one thing we are underrating is his yak ability. That Auburn game, his best run after the catch was, taken aback by a penalty. Really good on in-breaking routes as well. So if you were to pick a tight end of the two of them, and you were to ask me today who's going to be more productive, I would probably say Bauer Sharp. I would also say the higher upside is Tre'Davious Green. There is a world, and Blake has said this on here, there's other LSU YouTubers that think Tre'Davious Green is going to be the best receiver on this team. So we'll see how this plays out. But I will tell you, based on everything that I've heard, and LSU releases not a whole lot of clips. Every team releases probably a few different media clips throughout their fall practice. Obviously, it's normally of players normally doing good things. We saw Tennessee blur out their quarterback for an interception. One would like to think it was probably Aguilar who threw it. Here's the truth. Bauer Sharp. Raise him on your season expectations. I'm really high on him going into next year. I don't think he's as good as Mason Taylor, but I do think he's going to be a good piece for LSU this next season. Now, as Hayden does point out, as long as Bauer Sharp is not back there throwing behind the back passes, what did Bauer Sharp think he was doing? It kind of felt like that throw he made versus us was like Harlem Globetrotters-esque. And it felt like he was just flipping it up there like it was nobody's business. And here's the thing. The one thing I would tell Bauer Sharp, and I do think this is a little bit different regarding Tre'Davious Green. Tre'Davious Green isn't going to have a disaster play like that. It wasn't, as someone who watched a lot of Bauer Sharp footage over this offseason, and by the way, I do a lot of Oklahoma film studies on the SEC channel. We'll probably do it again this year. Boy, Bauer Sharp would have some disaster plays. When they would ask him to do these trick plays, holy crap. And then he would have some really, really, really bad whiffs as a blocker. So we do need for him, if I'm going to pump him up, I'm going to give you some negatives as well. We do need more down-to-down consistency, right? This is not an Oklahoma offense where some of his production, this is key as well, and this is one big argument for Tre'Davious Green. You know, Tre'Davious Green was, in his 1 year at LSU, was in a very competitive skill position group. Bauer Sharp was in the worst skill position group I have ever seen in the SEC last year with Oklahoma. So there is the school of thought that he could be a guy that produced on a really, 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 really bad offense, right? We see this a lot in sports, where if you're a quarterback on a bad team or a receiver on a bad team, this is more of a thing in the NBA as well. Sometimes there's these empty calorie stat guys that you average 20 points per game, which in the NBA, there's more 20-point per game scores than there ever have been in the NBA. But you're doing it on a team that finishes the year 12-63. So that was part of Bauer Sharp's production, right? It was on a really, like, Oklahoma has the worst set of skill guys ever. And a lot of that was injury, but, I mean, they really were that bad. That's why they emptied a cupboard. So there you go. Now, next thing, we'll follow up with Hayden. Everybody, welcome Hayden to the channel. Steven, good to see you. A few other things I'm hearing about practice. I won't talk too much unless we super chat here about Carius Kern. I don't want to talk too much about Carius for this reason, because I spent so much time talking about him yesterday, and I never want to just, you know, overhype a true freshman, even though he is the number one true freshman on my board. Look, I want to say this about Michael Van Buren, okay? Is it true that a few months ago when Colin Hurley was recovering from a very serious accident and Michael Van Buren was the hotshot transfer that came in from Mississippi State, is it true that that gap has shrunk between the two of them to the point where Colin Hurley might actually jump Michael Van Buren? It is indeed true. It is indeed true. I do think some of this, though, is Colin Hurley looking better. I mean, it is truly a miracle that he is at this point. Colin has been on this channel before. He is one of the most competitive-driven individuals I have ever interviewed, I've ever gotten the chance to know, okay? Colin can play. Colin was the far higher-rated recruit of the two of them. And it's kind of the same thing with the Michael Van Buren. And we brought that up in his film study a few weeks ago, that some of the big games, or big games, if you will, were kind of empty calorie games where he was a part of a really, honestly, Mississippi State's skill guys were really good. I mean, they are really, really, really good players. Craver, who's now at A&M, and then obviously Coleman was the most underrated receiver in the SEC by far last year. He's at Missouri now, and I think he's going to be awesome. I really do think Kevin Coleman is so underrated. So he was throwing to really, really, really good receivers. One was a good player for them as well. 18 was another player who was inconsistent, but very physical and athletic. And Van Buren put up a lot of stats in some negative game strips, scripts. And he part of the success was that, right? He was in games where the other team was comfortably winning, And there was, outside of that final Ole Miss game, there was never really a time when you were watching Mississippi State play those games and you say, okay, they really do have a chance to go out there and win the game. I will say, though, as tough as things have been in Van Buren, and it's not just, you know, some of these like kind of competitive scrimmages, some of this is just simply throwing against air. The game reps are still so valuable, right? They are still so unfreaking believably valuable. And for me to know that I have a backup quarterback that played literally what he played last year is stronger than what Indiana will play over the course of three seasons. That's how good the schedule was for Michael Van Buren, how tough the schedule was for him. That's something, right? So I understand. I've heard that in particular since I spoke so glowingly about him in the film study. I've been told that twice, that it's been tough. I will also say, for a young quarterback to go from the Jeff Lebby offense, which is simpler, to the Joe Sloan offense, which is more pro style and complex, there is a transition. I've not interviewed Michael Van Buren. I have talked to Colin Hurley, and Colin Hurley's broken down film on this channel. He has a very deep understanding of the game of football. I think Van Buren does as well. Obviously, I've never spoken to him before, but Colin Hurley knows. So, I mean, he's trained with NFL quarterbacks, right? He's gotten some unfreaking believable coaching and training off to the side from even his own high school career. So I do think Van Buren deserves some grace. And I do think the more important thing is those game reps. And on top of that, Garrett Nussmeier is fine. Okay. The next thing I'll say as far as the Garrett situation, I would be very worried if we had to start Michael Van Buren versus Clemson. Like, I really would be worried. Not so much I don't think he could go out there and not win. Our chances of winning would go down pretty drastically. I do think Clemson would go from a 3.5-point favorite. It would have been interesting to see how much the line would have moved. I think it would have gone from 3.5 to 9.5. I really do think Garrett is worth 6 points. And it may not seem like a lot. That's a pretty seismic number. Obviously, the number would have been taken off the board and they would have recalibrated everything. But Garrett is fine. Okay. And honestly, a lot of my sports betting friends and handicappers were the ones that were trying to get the nuts information, and they would have max bet Clemson, obviously. But it's fine. That's another thing. If Garrett was really hurt, you would have seen a lot more sports books. They get the information as fast as anyone. They would have taken the game off the board altogether. Okay. Everybody out west is more plugged in than anyone. Okay. Why? Well, like I said, they would have max bet Clemson, and there you go. He's fine. That's the bottom line, is he's fine. We say hi to Pressure. Under Pressure. Van Buren, according to Blanche, is more than likely taking a red shirt. Yeah, it's what the Brian Kelly brought up about Juwan Johnson. But we'll see. Now, I want to talk some defense. One guy that we've not talked a whole lot about is Gabriel Relliford. A guy who athletically is very advanced. I mean, what he was doing as a track and field athlete at 250 plus pounds in high school is of a movie, right? I really am talking myself into Gabriel Relliford being a really nice player for LSU, which would then lend itself into a big year three breakout going into 2026. You know, Jack Pyburn continues to stack really good days, as does the rest of this defensive end room. Brian Kelly talked about Patrick Payton, and you know, the coaching with the Kevin Peoples, a different style of coaching. It is different. I will say I'm not privy to Florida State's defensive line coaching style, but Kevin Peoples is one of the more hard-nosed, I wouldn't say older schooled, but you know, to use that term, he's hard on his players, basically. To go from, you know, the culture that was Florida State, which, you know, their defensive line was really soft last year and laissez-faire, to now you're in a room with a bunch of junkyard dogs, right? You're in a room with Jack Pyburn, who's one of the most intense football players you'll see. Gabriel Relaford is like that as well. He is insanely intense and driven, right? Gabriel Relaford, you never have to worry about him putting his ass on the line for the team, as you know, he stated in our interview not too long ago. But one thing I do like about Patrick Payton is he's familiar with Clemson, obviously with this time at Florida State, and Clemson's offensive line should be good. So if you can't get home, Patrick Payton has so many different ways he could beat you. I don't think personally as just let me go up against an offensive tackle, bend around him, and go get a sack. I don't think that that's necessarily his game. I will tell you, though, I have never seen a pass rusher at the collegiate level better at batting down passes. Now, what I would do is, and this is obviously a little deeper cut, if you play shorter quarterbacks, like let's say a guy like Diego Pavia, who did have a lot of batted down passes, I would make sure Patrick Payton's on the field for a good bit of that game. Klubnik is 6'3 or so, but he has had ball handling issues in the past. In particular, he has fumble issues. Patrick Payton's ball skills, as far as havoc plays, creating turnovers and all of that, is really, really, really special. And it's natural. Right, it's kind of like the same thing with Harold Perkins. Obviously, he has more upside in terms of like stripping the ball and all of that. But Patrick Payton is as good as it gets. Now, coming up next, a man who has been boots on the ground for every single LSU practice, and on top of that, a colleague of a friend of the channel, Mr. Andy Staples. It is Matthew Bruni. Coming up right after this. Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of LaBorde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at LaBorde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaboreTherapy.com, with locations in Aaron Crow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaboreTherapy.com. LaboreDe Therapy.com. Let's go. All righty, friend of the channel. This is a pretty big honor, Matthew. You are a part of the four-time PHL guest club. So in honor of that, you guys have got to go follow Matthew, the only San Antonio Spur fan I would ever allow on my channel, man. How's life going, bro?
Life's going great. It's August. It's football season. So, you know, we're just every single day something different. You got to talk about it, write about it, you know, do all that stuff. So I'm good. I'm great.
Yeah. So it's interesting that I bring you on today because we're trying to get you on last night. I'm glad it happened today because
coincidence.
Yes. So What makes this close to your heart is that you would speak so glowingly of Garrett Nussmeier 2 years ago at practice. I don't know how many times you tweeted out, dude, this Garrett Nussmeier guy is impressing me. So you are always of a lot of LSU media, a big driver of the Nuss bus.
The first one, sorry to cut you off. Yeah. The his freshman year, I remember him throwing next to Max Johnson, and I just remember being like, "Oh, the arm talent difference here is just on a different level." And it wasn't even competitive, wasn't even close. Now Max was more experienced, whatever, could run and everything. So I wasn't saying Nuss should start then, but then even 2022, Jaden Daniels clearly wins a job. They get to the SEC title game. Jaden Daniels misses the second half. Nussmeier comes in, slings it. Everybody had already known at that point. I was like, yeah, Nussmeier is going to be like next up and everything like that. He had a good game against Ole Miss too, I think, late in that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2022. And I'm like, dude, this dude is special. And then 23 happens, and Daniels takes the jump to Heisman. Awesome. Nussmeier also had that game, I think, in Southeastern, I think it was, or where he like had the turnovers, the picks, and everyone's like, oh, this guy's not really about it. I stayed true, and so here we are. Hopefully this is our payoff for the Nussmeier Nuss bus.
Yeah, yeah. So and this is funny because like you're not like friends with them. Like this was just your objective opinion as a non-LSU fan who walked on campus. So yeah. I do think, and this is important for you to share from your own media perspective, is that the media is not allowed at every practice. Right. So today it was a closed practice.
Correct. Yes. This was practice number 7 for them. I think we've been able to see almost 3 full practices. We can round it up to 3. I think one of them was like started a little later. So, but yeah, basically 3, and especially in terms of 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 and stuff. Because the first hour, is a lot of just drills and, technical work. So I'd say we've seen 3 of the 7, and then some of the other ones we've seen like the first 20-30 minutes or so, which I don't really count because, like I said, you don't see them going up and down as much. It's more so for availability. So, yeah, I'd say we've seen about 3 of 7, and then we're going to be able to watch they have a break tomorrow, and then they're Friday, Saturday, and we'll be there for both those days.
Yes, and basically, they got crazy today. So, apparently. So walk us through your media member. Obviously, if you were to just report on something, that would go way above your head. You would probably have to send that to the head editor and all that stuff. But walk us through everything that you've learned today as far as the rumors and all of how it transpired.
Yeah, so the first thing was yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, earlier this week, something happened to where Nussmeier had fallen down. It looked like there was pressure up the middle and he tripped and fell down. I was like, hey, slow down here, all right? He should never be touching the ground. And so then today, I was at the store. I was getting groceries, and all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up from everybody, even obviously non-subscribers and like just friends basically. And was just texting me. I was like, hey, what happened here? And I'm like, okay, what's going on? So I checked around and saw if there was anything like, reported, like concrete. There was nothing. Just a lot of like burners on Twitter that had like 14 followers. So I was like, okay, don't think anything happened. But sometimes, sometimes these leaks are like kind of true. So I was still at the store. I called Shay. Shay Dixon, obviously,
yeah,
great.
Of course, yeah.
Does excellent work on our site, Bengal Tiger on 3. And he was like, let me make some calls. I was like, all right, I'm gonna get home, and so we're prepared in case anything happens here. And Shay made some calls, sources, what Shay does, and he was able to dispel it fairly quickly. Now, he did leave practice, Garrett Nussmeier did. And yeah. I don't know what you've heard, but I heard. I wasn't able to watch the first 30 minutes of this if you touched on it already. But he did leave practice. Apparently, he bumped knees or something of that regard to where it was very quick and kind of, I don't want to say scary, but something quick. Anybody who's played sports, you have those kind of moments like, oh, hold on. But then he got right back in and went right back in for the next play. And BK was like,
no,
go sit down. No, you're good. You're good. You have tomorrow off. You're good. You went to the doctors. Everything was fine. Cool. He should be there at practice on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, a player told me pretty quickly that it was fine after practice. And yeah, that was it. So it is fine, but it is a quarterback.
Yes.
Right? And honestly, I shared this right before. It was actually a lot of my sports betting folks who
reach out and say and ask me about games, even though I've said it a gazillion times. I'm not a sports betting expert. I'm not smart enough to beat the guys out west. If I was, I probably wouldn't be doing the show. But I do get a lot of like sports betting questions because, you know, me and you in particular, we do a lot of film breakdowns and all of that. And they were going to go like, I would like, tell us now so we can go hammer Clemson. But the big thing was I didn't see really any sports books like just take numbers down. Okay, because if that would have happened, that means the people out west would have known, and they're oftentimes the first to know. So that's normally a pretty good sign for a quarterback's injury, if something really did happen or not. So Garrett's fine. What else have you learned from LSU's practice?
The defense is pretty damn good. I'm willing to say that they're good. I'm willing to go as far as they're better than last year. You know, last year, if we want to say whatever, they were average, mid, whatever. This year, I think they are pushing to being actually good. Now, where that ranks in the metrics, top 30, top 25, whatever that is, I think the transfer portal players have been just as good as I'd hoped they would be, and honestly better in some instances. I had high expectations for the likes of, like, Patrick Payton and Jack Pyburn, and then all these secondary guys they bring in. But Bernard Gooden, who I'm sure everybody has talked about throughout camp so far. I mean, he's been a surprise to me. Not saying he was not good on film, because he did flash on film plenty of times. Like, people will look at the Alabama game and obviously, but even if you watch other games, like he flashed a lot of times, but it wasn't really super consistent at times, which is why he wasn't like an all conference first team player, stuff like that. But Bernard Gooden, every single practice, every time I've been there, every one-on-one, 11-on-11 rep, I feel like you feel him on the field. And that's hard for a guy who's 6'1", 270, to be doing what he's doing. Like, that's where I start in terms of, like, players that are taking this defense to another level. It's like Bernard Gooden, Jack Pyburn, and then you get to the secondary in terms of transfers. I think Tamarcus Cooley, he's been kind of in and out, but I think he's lived up to my expectations in terms of like a playmaker. And then he also allows them to be kind of versatile with Perkins and the linebackers, to where he can come down and play nickel some, play man. So I feel like the transfers have lived up to the hype. And then you add in, you know, the talented returners that we know of with Witt and Harold and Dom and Ahmad and so on. And honestly, I think Jacobian Gillers looked really good.
Oh, okay.
Considering the Achilles tear, like, we're only 11 months removed from that. I mean, you know how, I mean, in the NBA, it's like you're done for like a year plus. Yeah.
And he's a bigger guy too. Yeah. I mean, I could tell you there's a few orthopedics that watch his channel. They'll tell you an Achilles, if you're bigger, it's that much harder. Dude, so that's good.
I wasn't really expecting him to be 100, like, full go. And I thought he would be like maybe doing individuals, but he's like 11-on-11 still going and pushing. And the thing I love about Guillory is, which has always been the case, and it's why he's such a good leader, he just like goes 100% all the time. So I'm like, wow, this is interesting. But yeah, they've lived up to my expectations and then some as a defense. So that's where I start with this fall camp.
I want to talk Harold Perkins. You know, it was interesting that when Andy Staples was on last week, he's really high on not only Harold Perkins, but Blake Baker. And obviously there's a lot of LSU fans holding their breath because it's another role that Harold has kind of sort of played, but this is now where they're really focusing him in on. How do you feel about how he's looked and how do you feel about his fit in Blake Baker's defense?
Yeah, I think it's very fair for fans and for media and everyone to be like, okay, hold on, let's just see what this looks like for Harold Perkins, because this is his fourth different position in 4 years, and you can get technical, but it went defensive end to nickel his second year to inside linebacker to star. Now, star or nickel, you know, can kind of be replaceable, but they are different, I guess, in terms of if you want to get specific. So this is the fourth one. And the big thing for me, I think, was he needed to get to another level mentally. Like, the game needed to slow down to a degree. And he at inside linebacker, he was never really able to do that in the four games we saw. It never really slowed down for him. It was a lot of thinking. It wasn't a lot of moving. Now, I think back to where he was kind of as a sophomore, I do think he, just watching him in fall camp, it's been a lot more activity level than it was last year. And we're getting back to that Harold Perkins to where I'm not saying, I don't know if he's going to get like 15 tackles for loss, but like he is everywhere though. Like you watch him, he's the only one that I saw had have an interception on Garrett Nussmeier the entire time that I've watched. Like it's the only interception Nuss has thrown.
Yeah, and that's what interested me as far as like plays that you've seen. So I do feel this is important as well because I do some practice breakdowns. I don't like doing practice breakdowns because the stuff that you're not able to film is actually the really good stuff. So for those that don't know, you're able to film the first 15 minutes, and then afterwards you have to take it off. And you're able to talk about the plays, but you're just not able to show them. So the Harold Perkins interception was interesting. I talked about the Bauer Sharp rail completion, and they put out some video of that today. What are some plays that have stood out to you up to this point?
Now, I do want to preface the Perkins interception was 7-on-7, but he clearly did bait Nussmeier into that throw. Like he felt like he came down on the shallow cross and then quickly recovered back to get back to a ball that was he clearly just caught Nussmeier off guard there. But Nussmeier had been doing so well in 7-on-7 that it was nice to see defense like get somebody, because when there's no pressure, you just let a good quarterback sit back there and you know kind of pick you apart. It's hard. Specific plays. Going back to the defense, dude, Jack Pyburn came off the edge on one of them for a tackle for loss against Caden Durham in the run game. That I was like, that first step is serious. And I you know, he's not a great pass rusher. And he, I think 2/3 of his plays last year were against the run in Florida. Like Florida knew when to have him on the field. But dude, against the run, he just really explodes. Really gets downhill. Really attacks the ball. He comes off the edge and just circles around to get Durham before he can get upfield. And it was just a really nice play. Other plays, let's think. Nuss had an incredible throw. And this is why I'm still just not fully worried about the offense yet. Nuss just can make some throws that bail you out a lot of times. And now, you know, will they get picked off sometimes? Maybe. But like if the O-line is a concern, as everybody has said it is, which I have said it is too, whatever, like Nuss is going to bail you out sometimes. And he had this throw, kind of a looping, not a full wheel route type thing, but Hilton gets to the sideline, gets upfield, and he throws it before he's even like broken upfield. And it's probably 15 yards down, and the safety's not there yet, and he leads him perfectly. And the angle I was watching it at was right where the ball was thrown. So I'm like, there's not a receiver there. And then Hilton comes out of nowhere seemingly and just under it. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. It's just throws like that and throws throughout practice where you're like, yeah, Nuss is still like that guy in terms of his arm talent. So that's where I'm like, I still believe in him. And then I'll end it with Bauer Sharp is so reliable. I'm curious, and I have not fleshed this thought out yet. I haven't written about it or anything.
Bring it. Bring it.
Like,
let's go.
Bauer Sharp might be tight end one. Like, this is he's been that good in spring and in fall now, to where he catches everything. He's reliable. He's 6'5". I know we talk about Trey Dez being 6'7", but like Bauer Sharp is huge too. I mean, this is not like some sort of huge drop off here. And I'm not saying Trey Dez isn't going to get on the field or get catches or anything like that, but from what we've seen spring and fall, Bauer Sharp has been incredibly reliable, and he's been a playmaker. He's just been awesome to watch. So, you mentioned that Bauer Sharp play. I mean, there was a one-on-one. I don't remember who the defense back or linebacker or safety he went against was, but it was like a one-handed grab where he had to like tumble over a little bit and catch it and bring it to his body, and he like falls and does like a little somersault. But I'm like, dude, he catches everything. Like this is a real dude here.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my rant right before you came. I basically said the same thing. I do think Tre'Davious Green is clearly the higher upside guy. If one of them is going to get drafted in the first round, it's going to be Tre'Davious Green later on in their careers. I do think Sharp, with what Joe Sloan wants to do with his tight ends, is going to do a lot of these kind of Mason Taylor pre-snap motions, split zone motions, cut up field wheel routes, where that's not really what Tre'Davious Green is. He's, to me, the better role for Tre'Davious Green is just being a receiver, a big slot.
In the slot, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like how you could envision a guy like Keon Coleman, if you will, yeah. Right? Obviously not as fast, but still a far larger catch radius, which is crazy considering what Keon Coleman was. So that's not a knock on Tre'Davious. They're just different types of players. This question, though, was one I was going to ask, and this is why I appreciate John. Let me see if I get my cursor here. And I was, and John doesn't know this, but I was going to ask you this because this is something that you actually do, right? I do think of the positions, wide receiver is as close to what you have to do as a basketball coach. So for people that know, Matthew Bruin is a basketball coach, right? And you have to, you know, toggle, do I want to keep my best players in or do I want to keep the hot hand in? So is that right? Is that something you have to do as a basketball coach? Is this analogy?
No. It's definitely right. Because then you get to a fatigue factor of sorts, to where it's
right.
How long do you keep your best players in? And this is in any sport. And I mean, you know, defensive line, whatever.
Yeah.
But yes, it's definitely a thing where you have to balance hot hand, fatigue, you know, best, fit with whatever you're doing, you know, all that good stuff. So the receivers will definitely be an interesting for Cortez to figure out.
So I think you're in a good position to ask this or answer this. What would be your perfect wide receiver rotation? How many guys do you legitimately think deserve, let's say, a minimum 33% snap share in your mind?
I know Brian Kelly said they have 8 legitimate SEC receivers, and they have a lot of really good receivers. This is a really, really deep room compared to the rooms they've had the past 3 years at least. Starting wise, I'm cool. I'm playing Hilton, Aaron Anderson, and I'm going to stick with Barry and Brown. Nick Anderson has been good in camp. Nick Anderson's probably been better in camp, or at least it has had more opportunities in camp. I just think Barry and it can give you that kind of 3-level threat that you kind of need here. So those three for sure. Nick Anderson's clearly in there. Like, that's the 4 to me still. Then you go, Xavion's going to be on the field as kind of a gadget player. He's gotten running back snaps. We've seen him as the guy that they trust out there. Xavion will be in the mix. And then Kyle Parker should be there. He's had a very, very good fall. He's had a very good fall coming off the injury that sidelined him last year. A lot of people were like, is Kyle Parker just going to get, you know, lost in the shuffle? And I think it was a fair question, but he has come out and been very good. And this is why people were high on him as a recruit. And this is why we were looking at him as being a guy last year that could make some plays for them before he got hurt. So that's my 6. I don't go much beyond that. I stick with 6. And honestly, my whole thing is, and this is, I've said this of any sport, of depth is great until you actually like get into the battles here, to where it's like, it's hard to take Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas off the field, even if you did have 4 other guys here that are really good. Like, Hilton was healthy that year. He just didn't really get on the field because you had Lacy as your 3rd receiver, who was very good as well. So it's like you were really not reaching here because Malik and Brian Thomas weren't coming out of the field. My hope is that Hilton, Brown, and the 2 Andersons, like 2 or 3 of them, really solidify themselves, be like, hey, we're playing a lot, and it's going to be hard to take us off the field. That doesn't mean Parker and Thomas don't play. That doesn't mean Dustin Hill doesn't play. But, like, I want there to be a clear, like, these are the star receivers at LSU this year. And so I stick with those six, and I can't really bring myself to go much beyond that, as much as like people have talked about Destin Hill having a good camp and Jelani Watkins clearly incredibly fast and talented. Billy O. So it's like, Billy, I don't know how much farther I go beyond six.
Right. And then what, I mean, Teron Francis just got there. Phillip Wright just got there. I mean, you don't know if they can just come in and just light it up, and they're undeniably good where you have to play them. But for me, and this is very important, because wide receivers look the best on air out of any position. You go to more practices than I do. You agree or disagree with that?
100%. Yes. And if they don't, it is you make note of the drops against air. I remember, I mean, honestly, like, even go back to Kayshon's year where we were like, oh, this is going to be a breakout year. And then you go to practice and he had some drops and you're like, something's off. And I don't think I was like out on him then, but I was just like, that's kind of weird. And then you get to the season and he was dropping passes. And it's like, you just make notes of it if something is wrong, but that you're right in that regard.
And the thing that I want everyone to get away from that is, like, I feel that I say Malik Nabers, one of the best LSU football players of all time, the things that he does best are stuff that you really can't see versus air, right? He's so good at just getting guys off of him. It's just, sometimes it's just that simple.
Malik's that's the best fall camp player I've ever seen. Malik Nabers.
You can't put hands on
2023, right? Malik Nabers. I just, the best player on the field, every single practice. That was incredible. It was so good. It was to the point where it's like, yo, we haven't heard about Brian Thomas Jr. in 2023. That's how good he was. It was just like every camp practice was like Malik Nabers, best player on the field. But yes.
So for you, this is why I do think it's also important, as far as, because there have been more reports. We all read the different reports. People subscribe to On3. You know, I'm lucky to talk to players, coaches, other media outlets. What you have to take into consideration, because it's been a good week for the other receivers, right? The other big receivers. Yes or no? Correct. Is that
in terms of the other big receivers? What do you mean by big?
Like. The non-Hiltons.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. The Kyle Parkers, Destin Hill, those Xavion, and so on.
And I remind everyone, Aaron Anderson isn't practicing. So if he's not practicing, that leaves other opportunities for other guys to step in. So unless you think Aaron Anderson's not going to play this year, which he is, he's got a lot of incentive to go out there and still be great, it's important to factor in. You know, there's always camp hype wide receivers, right? I think we remember the Shelton Sampson grabs versus a true freshman corner who just moved to corner. So with wide receiver, you have to be the most careful. Is there anything else, anything from press conferences that has stood out to you, Matthew?
I mean, we haven't talked about the offensive line, and I've been on it for 30 minutes. I don't know where you stand on the offensive line in terms of the questions, marks. I just think the defensive line, and I started with saying the defensive line is very, very good at this point. The offensive line just kind of has to figure it out. I think at guard specifically, you know, the tackles, not terrible. Tackles have been playing pretty consistently. I think they've lost some reps, yes, but they've had some wins to where Weston Davis, Tyree Adams, are they going to be great? I don't think so, but like, I think they're going to be fine. The guard and Braylon Moore at center has been the best offensive lineman, in my opinion, through the three practices I've watched. I think Braylon Moore has been very good, very solid. So that's a bright spot. The guard spot has been really troubling. Yes. And they're going against really good defensive tackles, right? Don McKinley, Bernard Gooden, Ahmad Bro, so on and so forth. But it's like, I, as someone who watched a ton of Josh Thompson film when they got him, I thought he was a little bit more polished and a little stronger than what he has been in camp so far. That's probably been my biggest surprise so far. Is I thought Josh Thompson would come in and immediately just be awesome. It hasn't quite been. I'm not saying he can't get there. Like, he just moved down here and he's, you know, instead of playing at Northwestern, he's playing at LSU. It's a huge difference. And I'm sure schematically there's differences as well. But like, between him and then you go to the other guard spot and you're trying to figure out whether it's DJ Chester, Paul Mbenga, or Cohen Echols. This is something we've talked about now since I talked about it since the damn bowl game last year. It's like, who's going to start at that other spot? And I'm not sure they have like an answer yet. I would place money probably if I was betting on Cohen Echols slightly. I think he's probably the best of the three, but yeah, the guard spot is a more of a concern than I was hoping it would be at this point. So that's probably, I hate to bring it down there, but like if the offensive line doesn't work out, like you're going to have a tough time doing anything on offense. So they need Thompson to figure it out and they need to figure out who the other guard is.
Yes. Yeah, so someone that would know, told me the guards have been quote atrocious.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want that to be the case. It's just it. And I was like, wait. Not even like good. And they're like, no. It's been that obviously everybody flashes at some point, but it's been atrocious. What about Kerryus Kern? Have you seen anything?
This is interesting. We've seen him at tackle.
Yes, of course.
I don't think he's a tackle right now, and I didn't think he was one out of high school. I loved him. I was much higher on – he was – or I don't want to say much higher because he was super high rated. He was third in the class to me behind Stingley and Barry. Very, very bullish on his athleticism, his strength, and that's why I get them wanting to put him at tackle just to maybe cross-train him and see maybe potentially if it could work out. And also, I don't think they have many tackles they trust on this team, which is a whole different scenario. But they put him out there. It just doesn't quite look as fluid as I was hoping at tackle. But I think at guard, I think he could help potentially. I think he could be in that mix there. So I'm curious to see if they do try him at guard in the coming practices and in the coming weeks. Because he is just such a good athlete. He's someone that physically can come in and compete with anybody. And at guard, obviously you have less, I don't want to say less responsibilities, but you have less on your plate than a tackle does typically in terms of having to get out there to those edges as much as you do. So, I like Kern still. I'm very high on him. As a freshman, I don't think he's ready to play tackle right now. Could be able to play guard, but not tackle right now. So
yeah, I'm in agreement. I've shared before that you know I have a small relationship with Kerryus Kern, but I think he's special. I really do think he will be drafted.
He's gonna start next year at the very like he'll if he doesn't start this year, he will start next year and the year after that and probably get drafted.
And my thing is, you know, I go back to Florida State and the Cam Wire situation at right tackle where he wasn't ready. And you know, Emory Jones as a true freshman would have put up a better fight. It's kind of the same thing where Jones at the time was practicing at guard and then he ends up being your starting right tackle and doesn't look back. And you know, I think once again, I'm not there every day. You go to practice every day and you see the guards getting pushed around. I would prefer at this point Kerryus Kern being one of the guards to at least stand a chance versus Peter Woods because, you know, let's just use some transitive property here. You're going to be on the road. Peter Woods is a better defensive tackle than any of our DTs. And that's not a knock on it. I mean, Peter Woods is by far the number one DT going into next year. It's not a close second. Every NFL draft analyst says that knows way more about football than me. I would, even though he's a true freshman, I would prefer my best athlete, you know, going down with my absolute best athlete at guard versus that. Do you think that would be too much or would you be open to it?
I'd have to know the mental side of Kerryus Kern, like from a coaching perspective, to really know if we can get him ready in 3 weeks for that. That's a lot. But I do, from a athleticism standpoint, I agree. Like the Kerryus Kern athletically is on a different level, I think, from where the rest of these guards are. And that's like all four of these Thompson, Mbenga, Chester, Echols. Like he is on a different level to me there. The question is when you go against Peter Woods or you go against these high level guys at guard, especially since he hasn't been Now, like, he probably went into fall being like, all right, I'm going to play tackle and figure this out. All right, now 3 weeks before the game, you're playing guard now, and we potentially might have to start you. Like, it is – it's just not a good situation all around here to where we're going to have to figure this out. But that's why they get paid the big bucks. That's why Brad Davis is there. You got to – they have to figure this guard thing out. I still believe in Josh Thompson enough.
I do too.
Watching the film on Josh Thompson, I'm like, he's still there. That player is still there. They just got to bring it out. So we'll see.
Favorite rom-com? Or do you have it gone?
No, hold on. I can. Gosh, Matthew McConaughey. How to lose a man in 10 days? How to lose a guy in 10 days?
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I thought you were gonna give me a "You Got Mail" or something like that. I like it. Please go give him a follow. I did have a few. Okay. 30 seconds or less. Is there any men's or women's basketball thing that we should know? Because we know that, I mean, that is your thing.
Women's basketball schedule came out. It's not a good non-conference, but they do play Duke on the road. So unfortunately, go support Kim Mulkey and the girls. They're going to be very, very good this year. You're just not going to see them play an actual basketball team in the PMAC until January. So.
Oh, that sucks.
That sucks. But, you know, you can watch them play Duke on TV. That'll be fun. But very, very good team. Very excited for that team. Men's team will have some really interesting non-conference games. They play SMU down in New Orleans. They play some other teams. So I'm interested to see that. McMahon and them should make the tournament. I'm going to say that right now. I think they should make the tournament. If they don't, there will be a lot of heat from fans on him. So we'll see. But I do think they have a real point guard now in DJ Thomas. They have some real wings. And then I think they are physically able, if Jalen Reed is full go, I think they have some physicality in the front court to play with anybody. So we'll see.
Matthew Bruni? Did I say right? Bruni or Brune?
Yes, Bruni.
Okay, I did Bruni. Okay, I did Bruni at the beginning too.
Trips everybody up the whole time.
Dude, please go give him a follow. That's the only way we can keep having awesome guests like him, and continue your very good objective coverage of the LSU Tigers. We'll talk soon, bro.
Thank you, Carter. Thank you for having me on. Anytime, man.
All right, buddy. We'll have him on again before the beginning of the season. Might talk a little bit more NBA at that juncture. Y'all remember when Matthew, I'm holding this to him. Remember I said, hey, please tell me in all your infinite basketball wisdom that we are going to make the tournament. Please tell me. And he said, we're going to make the tournament. I understand. All of us are all in on LSU football. And we better make the playoff this or that. And I agree. Okay. I am not close to saying that I would be happier if we made the tournament in basketball than if we made the playoff in football. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying if Brian Kelly misses a playoff this year, it's a lot harder to make the college football playoff than it is to make the 68 freaking men's basketball tournament March Madness Invitational. So Matt McMahon, dude, you've got to make the tournament, bro, or else you're going to see some hands. I'm kidding. I actually like Matt McMahon personally. I'll never do that. But, bro, you got to make the tournament. You just got to make the tournament. I understand the SEC in basketball is arguably harder than the SEC in football, maybe harder than the SEC in baseball. All three are just so unfreaking believably loaded. But there you go. Now, I'm about to go on Blake's show here in just a second. All 127 of you better go watch me on Blake Ruffino's show because I'm lighting his ass up tonight. Lighting him up. That'll be in just a moment. We'll take a few more here. Let's see. Brambo's been very skeptical of Brian Kelly's portal additions and development. Okay. I would like to say if you're going to bring in a player from the transfer portal, you would like to hit on two out of every three. Right? Because there are some instances where a guy like Omar Spates is terrible for you, but he's actually a good NFL pro and was amazing at Oregon State. What I understand about a guy like Omar Spates is that he had some really,
really, really bad hip situations. Okay. All right. So Hugo may not figured out who you were. I was trying to figure out. I had a, sometimes you have a feeling through a burner who that person is. And I'm not going to say who you are because this is, you know, your ego. And some people on the internet want to be anonymous. But Hugo Maine is an Iowa fan.
An Iowa fan super chatting me.
Who would have thunk? I should have had I should call Jeremy Hill to me on this channel because you and I have talked about Jeremy Hill crushing your hopes, dreams, and souls. I think that's who you are. But Iowa actually feels like they have a quarterback. I saw my buddy T-Bob with the viral Barstool rant talking about the Gradkowski kid, whatever his name is, from North Dakota State. You had to go get a quarterback from North Dakota State? The freaking Jackrabbits? I did. Now, Pierce, we do not dox. We do not dox, man. Sybil, you better be there tonight, dude. I'm flaming them tonight at 7:30. But should you go bet Nuss 850 to win the Heisman? Hell yeah.
I actually do think it's a good value for a quarterback that you know is going to have to throw the football a lot.
Okay? So, there you go. And Blake will be on here tomorrow at 6:30. Pumped up about that. Then, Sunday, we have a very popular guest. He was our main baseball analyst for us this year. John Eads will make his first football appearance here on PHL. I'm really freaking excited about that. John Eads will be on with us Sunday night at 6:30. Okay? All right, we get to a few different sports rants. Marcus says he misses Tommy Moffitt. Okay, here's the thing about Moffitt is, yes, he is the best strength and conditioning coach arguably ever. I mean, you know, his influence to other strength and conditioning programs is insane. There's so many other strength and conditioning coordinators that are from the Tommy Moffitt tree. It's kind of like the Shanahan thing. So he is that. I do think it was right to make a change, though. I think he would also tell you that as well. So, you know, Moffitt will always be a legend. We won three natties with him. And yeah. So, yeah. Next thing I would say as far as that is concerned, you know, so much of this live stream was us breathing in a sigh of relief with Garrett Nussmeier. The thing that the narrative I don't get, and I lazily said this earlier, and I talked about this, I talk about this all the time. I said this earlier in the off season that it's more important to have an elite or a really, really, really good offensive line if you have a pocket QB. That's true to a certain extent, right? Yes, it is true that your offense has a higher floor if your QB has like Taylen Green type of speed or whatever. But Nuss's superpower is not taking sacks. It's getting the football out quickly. And the thing that makes me really excited about Garrett this year is that DJ Chesser is probably not going to be a center. And Nuss had to throw with a center in his lap a lot last year. And a lot of those plays are what led to his turnovers. So now the middle of the offensive line is a concern again. So Garrett's already worked around issues there. I do think he can work around him again this year. And Bruni said it himself before we even got into the offensive line. Garrett is so good, he can throw you out of tough situations. I think that is very, very, very important. I really, really, really do. Okay? Sibley's really high on LSU this year. Really high. A couple of our viewers were like me. I don't know if it was my influence. I wasn't really high on LSU's talent. I had an 8-4. At LSU as an 8-4 team. I have them as a good 9-3 team with 10-2 potential right now. I don't think LSU goes 11-1 or 12-0 this year. But then again, I don't see anybody in the SEC doing that. Randy, that's what I do, man. I keep it 100. I will say someone did comment under my live stream yesterday. He just said, dog, you're so good at this. That made my day. I don't do this for those kind of compliments. Whoever it was, thank you. I could actually look your name up, but I don't think your username is your actual name. I really do appreciate that. I've only dedicated my whole life to doing sports media. And it was brand slime. Slime, let's go. NBA Young Boys Tour, Make America Slime Again. Masa. I think that's it. Please, I know to not say anything specifically correct about NBA Youngboy. Right foot creep, you roll with it. Man, that song always gets me, bro. Slime, baby. What do you think keeps us from 10-2 or 11-1? The position group or the schedule? I think it's a mixture. I want to show you this, and this just goes out to Holden. And I do this all the time. I think about these things all the time. And I always recommend you go print out a schedule matrix. It's very important to not look just at who you play, but when you play them. It is so, so, so important. So let's say a school like Vanderbilt, who's probably going to be good this year, they return a lot. They get a bye week before they play you. Yes, they get a bye week. And you have to go to Vanderbilt for an 11 a.m. game after a night kickoff running Lenore Sellers down for a full couple of hours. And there is a range of outcomes where Lenore Sellers is like so unfreaking believably good that we can't beat South Carolina this year, right? He could be that good and have a game so good that there's just nothing we can do. So we need to be ready for that game versus Vanderbilt on a short turnaround. And then you also have to factor in Arkansas. LSU is their biggest game on the schedule. They get a bye week before traveling to Baton Rouge, and that'll be our only morning 11 a.m. kickoff. So it will be something different, right? That's not even a top five game on our schedule. For Arkansas, it's probably the third or fourth game they're most excited about, if not the most excited game. It just depends. You can make a case it's Texas A&M. You can make a case, I would probably say it's Notre Dame, knowing the Lou Holtz history with Arkansas. So there you go. So LSU plays a lot of teams this year that are coming off a bye. I believe it's four total that they play coming off bye weeks. Alabama, where we also have a bye, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and who else was it? I'm drawing a blank. It is South Carolina. There you go. So both the teams that we play coming off our bye, the other teams coming off a bye as well. That was not the case last year. It was a big reason why I think we beat Ole Miss. Sometimes chance I do. But here's the thing. As much as I like to get credit for when I'm right about things, I love when people bring up my wrong predictions. My Maurice Hampton prediction, him being that dude, him being an All-American, I think about that one all the time. I wasn't the only one that felt that way, though. Mo Hampton not working out, and if you don't know who that is, good. Yeah, Mohampton not working out was Hang on, Holden. So, yeah, that's why. You know, you need scheduled breaks. LSU got a bye week before playing Ole Miss, and Ole Miss was playing the seventh game in 7 weeks. So there you go. NBA Carter. Dude, yeah, y'all want me to sing Nevada? Let's go. I wouldn't say like I'm like a Malik Nabers NBA level NBA young boy fan. I met someone in New York City after a Fanatics Fest and told him how big of a Malik Nabers fan I was. And I said, who are you listening to right now? I was like, he said, NBA Youngboy. I was like, Malik is like the biggest NBA Youngboy fan. And the dude just went crazy. I was like, man, I wish I can't love him anymore now. Let's go. But yes, life is going grand. Now, if you're in the Lafayette region, 5 different locations where you can go support our friends at Laborde Therapy Center. It might not be you. You might be healthy. But think of your friends. Think of your older family members that are looking to rehab that knee, that back pain. Laborde Therapy Center does everything. All right? So if you're a coach, Laborde Therapy Center, they can work with your insurance. They could do it all. Just book your appointment today at 5 different locations in the Lafayette region. LaboreTherapy.com. LaboreTherapy.com. Shout out to them. Shout out to Zion Imaging for a 360 spin booth, party experiences. Fast Draft and all our partners are top super chatters of the evening. It's actually Yusha super chatting from Kiev. Jamie, I still want to know what the story is on Prince de Malbrew. I as big of an interest I have in a guy like Garrett Nussmeyer. I love the walk-ons as well. And the rom-com question from Blanche was great. And, of course, LA Mom, always sending us Venmos. We appreciate it. Okay, now I'll be on Blake's show literally in a few minutes. So go to AYS Sports. AYS Sports. You're going to love it, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight! We are doing spaghetti. Now, I've been seeing Roback sponsor some athletes. Roback, I wear your shirts all the time. Hit a brother up, baby. Let's get this thing going. I love your shirts, man. I wasn't really a big like collar shirt guy, really, until Roback. I asked my wife that. It's ironic because I can't say this publicly, but the PHLer who sent me a Roback shirt actually called me today for the first time, or called me this week for the first time in a while. And I'll always be appreciative to him. I freaking love the brand. And tonight we are, once again, we are doing the spaghetti. Let's go.